Chapter 2. Oliver gets a job and runs away. Oliver was woken in the morning by a loud kicking on the outside of the undertaker's shop door.
"Open the door, will you?" a voice shouted.
"I will at once, sir," replied Oliver, getting up.
"I suppose you're the new boy," said the voice. "How old are you?"
10, sir," replied Oliver.
"I'll beat you when I get in. Just you wait and see," said the voice.
People had beaten Oliver so often that he was certain this was true. His hand was shaking as he turned the key in the lock. A young man with long, thin legs was sitting in front of the shop, eating a piece of bread and butter.
"Did you want a coffin, sir?"
Oliver asked the young man. At this, the young man looked very cross.
"Don't you know who I am? I'm Mr. Noah Claypole, and you work for me. Open the shop, you lazy young fool."
With this, Mr. Claypole kicked Oliver and entered the shop with his head held high. Oliver had been at the undertaker's for about a month when Mr. Sowerberry had an idea.
"About young Twist, my dear," he said to his wife. "He's a very good-looking boy, and his sad face would be good for business, you know."
So it was agreed that Oliver should go out with his master, Mr. Sowerberry, on his business.
"Oliver, put on your cap and come with me," announced Mr. Sowerberry one day. "Noah, you must look after the shop."
Noah's face was very cross. Mr. Sowerberry took Oliver to a miserable part of town, where four men brought a coffin out of a house, lifted it onto their shoulders, and walked towards the church. Mr. Sowerberry led the way, and Oliver, whose legs were not as long as his master's, had to run by his side. A poor old woman and a man followed quietly behind the coffin. When they reached the church, the coffin was put down in the darkest, poorest corner of the churchyard. Cold rain began to fall as they waited for the priest to arrive, and the old woman and the man waited patiently, staring sadly at the coffin. Finally, the priest arrived, spoke some words in a hurry, and in 4 minutes was gone.
"Well, Oliver,"
said Mr. Sowerberry as they walked home afterwards,
"how did you like it?"
Oliver did not reply at once.
"Not very much, sir,"
he said at last.
"Ah, you'll get used to it in time," said Mr. Sowerberry. "It's nothing when you're used to it, my boy."
It was a very sickly time of year, so the sales of coffins went up. In a very short time, Oliver got much experience of the undertaker's business. While Oliver went out with Mr. Sowerberry, dressed in a new black hat and carrying a black stick, Noah always remained in the shop. Mr. Sowerberry was friendly to Oliver, but Noah behaved worse than ever towards Oliver now that he had reason to be jealous. One day, Oliver and Noah were down in the kitchen. Noah was passing the time before dinner by trying to make Oliver cry. He put his feet on the table, pulled Oliver's hair and ears, and called him names, but none of this made Oliver cry. So Noah tried something different.
"How's your mother?" asked Noah.
"She's dead," replied Oliver. "Don't you dare say anything about her to me."
Oliver's face went pink, and he started to breathe heavily. Noah was certain he was about to cry.
"What did she die of?" he asked.
"Of a broken heart, they told me," replied Oliver. "Now, don't say anything more about her," he warned Noah.
"Well, I'm sorry for you, but you ought to know that your mother was a bad woman," said Noah. "And it's much better that she died when she did. If she hadn't, she'd be in prison, or, more likely, she'd be hanged."
Oliver jumped to his feet, knocking over his chair. He took Noah by the throat and, using all his strength, knocked Noah to the ground. A minute before, Oliver had looked quiet and gentle, but what Noah had said about his mother had made him red with rage.
"He'll murder me!" screamed Noah. "Help! Help! Oliver's gone mad!"
Mrs. Sowerbury ran into the kitchen. She easily pulled little Oliver off Noah, and she hit Oliver hard in the face. Noah, whose chest was at the same height as the top of Oliver's head, jumped up from the floor and hit Oliver from behind. Then the two of them dragged Oliver to the cellar and locked him in. When Mr. Sowerbury returned, his wife told him how frightened she and Noah had been of Oliver.
"That boy nearly killed Noah, and he nearly killed me," Mrs. Sowerbury said to her husband.
Mr. Sowerbury unlocked the cellar door. There was blood on Oliver's clothes, and his face was cut.
"Why did you hit Noah?" Mr. Sowerbury asked him.
"He called my mother names," Oliver answered.
"Well, everything Noah said about her was true," said Mrs. Sowerbury.
"It wasn't. It was lies,"
said Oliver, still angry. Mrs. Sowerbury began to cry.
"Husband, you must punish him," she said.
Mr. Sowerbury always did what his wife told him, so he beat Oliver, but he did not lock him up again. It was not until Oliver was alone among the coffins that night that he fell to his knees on the floor and began to cry. He remained like this for a long while without moving. The candle was burning low when he got to his feet, listened for a moment, and quietly opened the shop door. It was a cold, dark night, and the sky was full of stars. After closing the door, he made a parcel of the few clothes he had and waited patiently for morning. As soon as the first light came, he opened the door again. He looked to the right and to the left, uncertain which way to go. Then he quietly closed the door behind him and walked quickly away. Oliver walked through fields and hid behind hedges, and at 8 a.m. he was 5 miles away from the town. He sat down to rest by the roadside, near a sign that told him it was 70 miles to London. Seeing the name gave him an idea. London was a great big place full of people. No one, not even Mr. Bumble, could find him there. It was the very place for a homeless boy who would die without someone to help him. He had only one small coin in his pocket and one shirt and some socks in his parcel. He jumped to his feet and walked on again. Oliver walked 20 miles that day, and he had only a piece of dry bread to eat and a few cups of water to drink, which he asked for at cottage doors. When night came, he slept under a hedge. The next morning, he was cold and stiff, and so hungry that he spent his only coin on bread in the first village he came to. His feet hurt terribly, and his legs were weak, but he kept walking. A kind man gave him some bread and cheese, and a poor old lady gave him what little she could. And so, very early on the seventh morning, Oliver walked slowly into the little town of Barnet, just a few miles from London. Everywhere was closed, and the street was empty. He sat on a doorstep and watched the sun rise. Sometime later, he saw a boy watching him from the other side of the street. Seeing Oliver look up, the boy crossed the street and came over to him.
"Hello," he said. "What are you doing?"
The boy was about Oliver's age, but he was the strangest-looking boy Oliver had ever seen. He had very funny clothes. A man's hat balanced on the top of his head and a man's long coat which reached his feet. His hands were in his trouser pockets.
"I'm very hungry and tired," replied Oliver. "I've walked a long way. I've been walking for 7 days.
"Up you get and come with me," said the boy.
He helped Oliver to his feet and took him into a shop, where he bought him some bread and meat. While Oliver ate, the strange boy watched him carefully.
"Are you going to London?"
the boy asked.
"Yes," said Oliver.
"Have you got a place to stay or any money?" asked the boy.
"No,"
said Oliver.
"Then you want a place to sleep tonight," said the boy. "I'm going to London, and I know a nice old gentleman who lives there. He'll let you stay for nothing."
So Oliver went with the boy.
"I'm Jack Dawkins, but my friends call me the Artful Dodger," the boy told him.
It was nearly 11 p.m. when they arrived in London. The Artful Dodger led Oliver down a dirty, narrow street full of poor people and terrible smells, and he pushed open a door. They went up some dark and broken stairs and into a dirty room. The walls and the ceiling were black. On the table, there was a candle in a bottle and some bread. An old man was cooking sausages on the fire, his ugly face half hidden by untidy red hair. Near the fire, a great number of beautiful and expensive handkerchiefs were hanging up. Several rough beds made of old sacks lay side by side on the floor. Sitting around the table were 4 or 5 boys, none older than the Dodger, smoking and drinking like men. The boys crowded around the Dodger as he whispered a few words to the old man.
"This is him, Fagin, my friend Oliver Twist."
The old man smiled, bowed, and took Oliver's hand.
"We're very glad to see you, Oliver," he said. "Dodger, bring the sausages and pull up a chair near the fire for Oliver. Ah, you're staring at the pocket handkerchiefs, are you, my dear?" he said to Oliver. "There are a good many, aren't there? We've just got them out, ready to be washed, that's all."
And the old man and all the children laughed loudly. Oliver ate the sausages he was given, and the old man gave him a drink. Afterwards, Oliver felt himself being lifted gently onto one of the sacks, and he fell into a deep sleep.